If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Alex Frank is a senior program manager at City Sprouts, an urban gardening nonprofit based in Cambridge and Boston, whose mission is to cultivate curiosity and wonder in students through hands-on science learning in their own schoolyard gardens. Alex oversees the Green Team program, a tuition-free after-school and summer program that provides opportunities for teens to work and learn outside in their own communities, providing experience to help prepare them for green education and career opportunities. He also oversees coordination of the Boston Area School Gardens Conference, a professional development opportunity for educators, gardeners, and others to join together to share their best practices and build a movement around urban garden education. Without further ado, Alex Frank. Hello, everybody. We have Alex Frank here from City Sprouts, and so glad you're here, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Great. So let's just jump right in. For those listeners who are new to City Sprouts, can you share your mission and what inspired the organization's beginnings?
Yeah. So City Sprouts is an urban garden education nonprofit. Our mission is to cultivate curiosity and wonder in students through hands-on science learning in their own schoolyard garden. This is actually a really big year for us at City Sprouts. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary from our foundings. We were founded 25 years ago by Jane Hershey, who was a Cambridge resident, a Cambridge mom, who noticed as her kids were going to school and everything that while they were getting a lot of good education in the classroom, there weren't a ton of opportunities for them to be learning outdoors and for them to be learning about things that she was really passionate about growing food, about eating food and building that connection with the natural world. So she took this kind of idea, this idea that we've heard a lot in environmental education of nature deficit, and really took it upon herself to help both her kids and the rest of the kids in Cambridge with providing opportunities to go out and garden. Mm-hmm. So since she started that, we have grown quite large. We now have 25 gardens. We have 13 gardens in Cambridge Public Schools, as well as 12 gardens in Boston Public Schools, all with the express purpose of providing high quality garden education to youth in those schools and giving them the opportunity to grow food, grow flowers, and really experience the outdoor world while still staying in their own communities and own neighborhoods.
Incredible. It's incredible to think about. And I do remember living in the Cambridge area years and years and years ago and remember the beginnings of City Sprouts. So it's so exciting to actually have you here for the 25th year. So when we think of urban agriculture, so I get this question a lot, like, what is urban agriculture? Can we actually create these outdoor classrooms in a city? I mean, we're talking Cambridge and there's not a lot of, and Boston. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah. So When we're talking about gardening, agriculture, and everything, at City Sprouts, we really do like to emphasize the fact that these are urban environments that we're gardening in. And that comes with its own challenges, but it also comes with its own benefits as well. Especially in cities like Boston and Cambridge, you know, old cities that have had infrastructure and pavement and everything on top of them for so long. There are lots of challenges, some of them being space. There's not a ton of space for us to work with. How can we grow a lot of food? How can we grow a lot of plants in a tight area? Soil degradation and soil pollution are serious issues that we have to consider. How can we make sure that the soil that we're using is healthy and good and that the plants will be able to grow? While there are challenges, there are also a lot of benefits, though, as well. Because we are in these urban spaces, we're able to provide this opportunity to youth who otherwise might not have the opportunity to go out and be at some large-scale multi-acre farm or something. They're able to do this gardening in their own communities. And the ultimate goal of that is that they can see that, oh, in my future, even though I'm a city kid, I can still be part of this environmental movement. I can still be part of this growing, gardening, agricultural movement, even if I'm not what we have typically seen as the farmer or the agriculturalist in the past.
So yeah, it sort of looks at why we think gardening and food education is so important. And also in the same lens that it may seem so, like, I don't know, with teachers that you're working with, do they find it intimidating to be starting these gardens?
Yeah, so first we got to give a huge shout out to all our partner teachers for really coordinating with us and helping us give youth these opportunities to work and learn in the gardens. I think we get a mixed bag with our teachers. You know, we have some who maybe have gardening experience, maybe even environmental education experience, who are super excited to have gardeners come in and teach their kids about the gardens that we have running. And we also have teachers who, you know, maybe were a little bit interested in it, but like, I don't really know how to garden myself that well. I'm a little intimidated by the bugs and by the dirt and everything like that. I don't know if the kids are going to like it. We work with all different kinds of teachers, and our educators are really well trained at adapting their lessons and adapting their approach based on both the teachers and the students' needs, comfort levels, and motivations.
I love that. I love it. So again, any early challenges? I mean, City Sprouts has been at it for 25 years, which is absolutely amazing for a nonprofit and just, again, a gardening nonprofit and going into the schools nonetheless. And all of those are such huge mountains to climb. Are there any other like early challenges that City Sprouts has faced since starting out?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that Jane, our founder, really began to focus on as the organization grew is how do we build a model that's sustainable, that's going to be able to keep going for 25 years, hopefully 50 years and into the future as well. You know, she started it at the school that her kids were attending. She started it at Haggerty School in Cambridge. They started as a very small, just that one school. And then she slowly but surely built up and expanded to more and more schools. That start, so we didn't spread ourselves too thin, was all in Cambridge. We really kind of put our foot into the ground, so to speak, in Cambridge and established ourselves there. And then about 12 years ago or so is when we really started thinking, like, where are other places we can grow? Where are other places we can expand? There was a big push from Boston and from Boston Public Schools to get this same kind of education, to get this outdoor gardening exposure into their schools as well. So we have since then really put a lot of focus into building up our garden spaces, building up our operations in Boston so that we have now pretty much the same number of gardens Wow. in both Boston and Cambridge.
That's incredible. It's incredible. I've neglected to say that for all of those listeners that are listening, that this is an outdoor classrooms tour and talk. So as Alex and I are chatting and talking and learning more about City Sprouts, we are actually looking at incredible photos and having a photo tour of the behind the scenes of what City Sprouts looks like. So this outdoor classrooms tour and talk is accessible through our Circle membership community. So that's where our beautiful Circle members can view this great tour and talk. And it's completely worth it. The pictures are incredible. So just wanted to highlight that as we move on. So with that, at what point, I guess along this journey, did you or folks realize that this creating these outdoor classrooms and these gardens within all these schools, that you realized this was bigger than just gardening?
Yeah. So I think if you ask anybody in our organization, they could give you one or probably several stories that could answer this exact question.
Yeah.
I won't speak for them, but I'll share one of my own stories that really opened my eyes to the impact that we were having across the communities. I oversee our summer garden programming, summer garden education programming, and we run that garden programming across three different sites in both Boston and Cambridge. These are separate sites that are doing their own gardening at their own garden sites, and then they will do occasional field trips to other green spaces that might be community gardens, that might be kayaking on the river, might be going to the Rose Kennedy Greenway, anything like that throughout the summer. Every summer, we end our last field trip of the year. We bring every one of the sites together to meet up at the Boston Harbor and take a harbor tour out to one of the islands. It's always been a great experience for the youth. This past year, when we brought all those groups together, I had actually quite a few of the kids come up to me and be like, "This is so cool. I didn't realize that there were other groups, other kids doing the same kind of stuff that we're doing at Orchard Gardens, that we're doing at Cambridge Street or at Putnam Ave, all throughout the city." And that really opened my eyes to saying like, yeah, this, I see each of these sites as like their own thing that need their own nurturing, their own help, their own support. But when these kids get together and share what they've been doing, share their knowledge, share their excitement with each other, that's really when we see that movement that we want to see in these youth.
Incredible. I just got goosebumps. Wow. It's so true. And that's the essence of what we're trying to do, is to create this movement and that our children and our youth feel a part of that. And it sounds like City Sprouts and the organization is really doing this incredible job with that overarching goal. So how has City Sprouts evolved as the needs of the community has changed over the years? I can imagine that Cambridge and Boston, you know, it's constantly changing. How do you keep up with it?
Yeah, it's always changing. So beyond just our general growth and getting into Boston and really getting into all the different schools across the cities, I think one of the things we've been really intentional and strategic about is thinking, how is our programming, how are our lessons responding to the times, to what teachers and what students need? One of the biggest changes that has happened, obviously, everyone still remembers 2020. Everyone remembers when the pandemic happened. That had a big impact on everyone, and it certainly had a big impact on us at City Sprouts as an outdoor education organization that's coming into the schools. I know I was not at City Sprouts at that time, but I know that during the pandemic itself, they adapted. They started doing, let's do gardening on YouTube. Let's have options for teachers to still be able to give their kids some garden education, some opportunities for something a little bit different than addition and subtraction, and still see the garden, even if we can't be there at the schools. After the pandemic, our programming has had to shift a little bit as well, because it's just a new world. There's a new normal for us to adapt to. A lot of the things we used to do regarding like having kids try food straight from the garden, having kids being able to cook with everything, we have to do that with a lot more careful attention to detail and everything now, making sure that we are keeping up to code, as it were, and making sure that we have all the information from students before we give them anything to eat or anything like that. Ultimately, the best way for us to adapt and evolve to the community's needs is for us to partner with, listen to, and learn from our community members. Our partnerships are what make this organization and what makes these programs thrive. And so when we're able to sit down with leaders at Boston Public Schools, with leaders at Cambridge Public Schools, with community leaders, gardeners, all these people, they're able to share with us what's going on in their organizations, in their worlds, and we can adapt to fit their needs better.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. So you have all these sites all over Cambridge and all over, I don't want to, you could probably spend the whole podcast, but are there any in particular that stand out that are, I mean, that you'd just like to share maybe quickly?
They all stand out, right? One of my favorite things when I first started this job, and, you know, they're giving me tours of all the different garden sites at all the different schools, just like every community that we work with, each of these garden sites is unique and special in its own way. So we have some gardens that, because it's the way the school is set up, because it's the way that the space is set up, it is perfect for like big vegetable production. We've got tons of open sunlight. We've got nice big raised beds. So we grow a ton of tomatoes and a ton of peppers and basil and oregano, rosemary, squash, all those kinds of things because the space fits that. We also have some gardens that are a little more zen. They've got a little bit more tree cover, a little bit more shade and everything. So we're maybe not getting as much vegetable production in the summer from those gardens, but they're still special and unique in their own ways because they have this nice, calming, peaceful space where the youth can go out and do a little sit spot. They can go out and write in their journals or something like that and take that pause, take that break. So I think that's really one of the best things and one of the things that our educators do so well is every garden space is unique. Every garden space is special and they adapt their teaching, their programs to what works best within that space.
Beautiful. Wow. And these pictures are amazing. Amazing. I guess we've already talked about this in terms of when early or just educators feel like they don't have a so-called green thumb and they're not a gardener. We sort of talked about that already in terms of moving them towards that. Is there anything you want to add to that element?
I heard this at a COP, a community of practice I was at a couple years ago, where people were talking about exactly this issue. You know, they're working with teachers who are like interested, but they're afraid of it. And they're like, I'm not going to do a perfect job. What if my carrot doesn't grow perfectly? Gardening is a science, but it's also an art form, right? You want everything to work out perfectly and realistically, it's not going to. As long as you have the interest and the enthusiasm, as long as you're bringing that into the classroom and the youth, the students see that, that's the thing that's most important.
Brilliant. There you go. Exclamation point. So how does City Sprouts really support those teachers? Like, are you in charge of those outdoor spaces? Are you helping them grow the food? Or you're sending folks in during the summer program? Can you explain just the format of the program a little bit?
Yeah. So to answer the first question as well, like, how are we supporting teachers to do this themselves as well? One of the big things we want to emphasize with our mission is that, yes, we're cultivating curiosity and wonder in students through hands-on learning in their own schoolyard gardens. These are not our gardens. These are the school's gardens to use. And we really want to emphasize that with teachers. If you are not one of our partner teachers who are getting a lesson, but you're interested in it, come talk to us. We can help give you a lesson. If you want to just like, if you've got a youth, if you've got a student who's having a hard time, needs a little space outside to just take a deep breath, that is what this garden space is for. It's for our classes. It's for our gardeners to work in, but it's also a space for teachers, for students to use inside their schools in a way that helps them. Our program structure itself provides a little bit of scaffolding, provides a little bit of guidance to that beautiful mission, right? We have garden educators who go into schools once a week. They have teachers whom they partner with, who bring their students out, who bring their classes out. and do a different garden-based lesson every week. Obviously, in the wintertime, like we're in right now, a lot of those lessons actually end up being indoors. But even indoors, we still have a lot of good programming. A lot of times, the students are either learning about touching some interesting garden bugs and such, or they might be growing some mushrooms inside to see different ways that gardening can still be brought inside. We also run an after school and our summer program. Those are the programs that I oversee. That is specifically targeted for a slightly older age range, grades 5 to 8. And because we are working with an older age group, we're able to do a little bit more of the hard work of gardening. We've got our youth weeding, watering, planting, doing all those things in the garden that a garden needs to survive and thrive. Because they're a bit older, we also get opportunities to do things like cooking, to explore our communities and meet other community leaders and gardeners. We run science experiments, all those kinds of things. And then eventually, the hope is as they get into high school, as they get into college and stuff, they want to continue that learning, continue building their experience in the gardening and environmental world.
I just love it. I love it. So in terms of those educators, parents, those that are listening, do you have one small doable way that they can start gardening with children without needing a lot of space? Or even expertise?
Yeah. A lot of the students and families that we work with, right, they live in apartments, they live in small spaces that don't have yards, they don't have large swaths or big, open, sunny areas to work in. So if we're at an event or if we're doing a little family engagement lesson or something, we always like to emphasize, hey, it doesn't have to be perfect. You can plant a bean in a cup.
Yeah.
Grab a little bit of soil from your local store. Grab beans. A lot of times people are shocked, like, yeah, you can literally buy beans from the store, like the dry beans from the store, and plant them and they will grow.
Yeah.
We build seed bombs. We'll take a bunch of seeds and ball it up into some burlap. Then they can use those to scatter seeds around. There's a lot of options that you can do to still expose yourself to gardening. Expose yourself to trying something new and trying something outside without going all the way out into the rural areas.
Yeah.
I think the one other thing I would emphasize, as I mentioned before, is it doesn't have to be perfect. Gardening's a science, but it's an art form too. You want to grow nice plants and everything, but the best part of gardening is the process of actually doing it and getting your hands dirty, getting your hands to touch the earth.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love that. So just, again, growing community. This is all the things that you're doing. I want to just touch, I mean, this is such a huge, all of these topics we can just spend days talking about. But I know that City Sprouts often talks about food justice. How would you define that in a way that feels accessible? It's a pretty big topic.
Yeah, it is a big topic.
In a very short amount of time.
And I'll maybe use this as a platform to emphasize two different areas that are a little bit disparate, but they're both very important. Our gardens are in schools. While we like to try to produce a good amount of food in our gardens, realistically, we have a lot of space limitations. We are very fortunate in Boston and Cambridge to not be the only urban agriculture, urban gardening organization out there. There are so many other organizations that are doing good work that are a little bit more focused on the actual production and the urban agriculture aspect of this movement. So organizations like the Food Project and the Urban Farm Institute, they have much larger plots of land where they're able to grow a lot more food that can then be served and fed to local communities. A lot of these partners actually have teen and young adult programs as well. So if we have youth who are in our programs who know they're interested in gardening, they're interested in agriculture, we can tell them, hey, we might not have anything for you next year, But go check out the Food Project.
Yeah.
Go check out UFI. Go check out all these other partner organizations who are doing so much good work and are doing things that is just not our focus, just not something that we can do because we're focused on teaching inside the schools. I will also say that with our after school and summer programs, our green team programming, we are able to do a lot more cooking and we're able to use a lot of the produce that we do grow to make recipes. So we have, because we are working in Boston and Cambridge, large communities of immigrants, of low-income and multilingual families. We have built out curriculum specifically with recipes that come from the Caribbean islands, that come from Africa, that come from Latin America, that are familiar recipes and familiar food to what they are eating at home. We also encourage youth to come up with their own ideas. I think last summer we probably had about 30 different recipes that I didn't plan for the kids to make. None of our educators planned. They came up and they said, I want to make a margarita pizza with all this basil and tomatoes we've been harvesting. We can make that happen. I want to make sage chips with this like giant pile of sage that we have. We can make that happen. When the recipes, when the programs, when the ideas are being driven by the youth themselves, there's so much more buy-in. There's so much more excitement behind it. And that's how we get them to really want to become gardeners and want to become stewards of the environment.
Yeah, it's that emergent curriculum. Yeah. You've already spoke about this already, just in terms of your lessons learned from the communities that you serve and that how they've shaped the growth of City Sprouts over these 25 years. Is there anything that you'd like to add even to this?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I have learned about the communities that we serve is that they are so excited and so ready to buy into this idea of getting space outdoors, of getting time outdoors, of growing food and everything like that. Another big thing I've noticed is we work in Cambridge and Boston. We work in different neighborhoods in each of those cities. Every single neighborhood, every single community is unique.
Yeah.
It has its own challenges and it has its own strengths. So we as an organization and we as a larger environmental movement need to make sure that when we're going into these communities that we're listening and we're responding to what they need and what they are asking for, because no one knows the communities better than the people there.
Yeah, it's a really, really important note. That listening piece is critical. And that's probably why you have the City Sprouts been doing so well. And you've shared so many stories, but can you share a story of a child or a family or an educator whose experience has really stayed with you? Is there any other ones that we haven't tapped into?
I'll give a shout out to one of our very close programming partners. When I first came in, we needed to expand the after-school program. So I was going to a bunch of different network meetings and I met the program director at the Cambridge Community Center, Rachel. We've built a partnership. We've started doing programming and helping manage their garden over the last couple years. At the end of every year, I go around to all our program partners and do a little debrief session, a little bit of a feedback back and forth session to understand what went well, what didn't go so well. And so one of the questions I always ask in that is, what was a program? What was a story that really stood out to you? And Rachel came up to me and she said, I was so excited over the winter time when you guys came in and you made pickles with all the kids. And I was surprised by this a little bit because kids and pickles is kind of a hit or miss thing. Some of the kids are like super stoked for it. And some of them are like, that's the grossest thing I've ever smelled. I don't want anything to do with that. But she explained, she was like, making pickles and storing them in jars was something I did with my grandfather for years and years as a kid growing up. And so to see that process, to see the kids at our community center getting to do that again, just like how I did it decades ago, it really stood out to me and made this program feel very special. And so I think that's something that I forget about too, is that, you know, I see the kids getting excited and everything, but it's so nice when we can bring these stories that bridge the generation gap and that bring grandparents and parents and kids and grandkids all together around a garden and around the food that we grow in it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Pickles, you would never think. So there's just these pictures of kids working on their clipboards. And again, we haven't talked about even the pictures, but the essence of growing leaders and all the different things that you're growing. And we've talked about how just these gardens are helping these the children that are in all the schools that you're serving, feeling like they have a sense of belonging and stewardship. Is there anything that I have not asked you thus far about City Sprouts, about your experience, that we have not touched upon?
One more thing I'll emphasize, I know I've mentioned this a little bit, is how essential and important our partners are and this larger community built around it. We could not survive and thrive without all of the different stakeholders that are invested in this. That goes to the cities of Boston and Cambridge and the public school systems that have bought into this idea and had said, yes, we want to invest. We want to invest in our kids getting outside, even if it's in an urban space, even if we have those challenges. That connects to all the partner organizations, nonprofits that we work with that make food, that teach other kids about gardening, that teach kids about other urban green spaces. One of the great things about our programming is, yes, we're teaching about gardening, but we also give youth the opportunity to explore all these other amazing resources and green spaces that Boston and Cambridge have available. All these different partners working together is the only way that we can accomplish our ambitious missions and our ambitious goals.
Yeah, and I'm just, as you're talking, looking at so many different pictures of different things that you've grown and how you're incorporating these incredible spaces and the lessons learned and so on and so forth. So there's a lot coming up around the bend. Can you tell us a little bit about those things? And I know you are having a conference coming up. So I'm very excited about that. Can you tell us a little bit about your 25th year and how you are celebrating and what maybe our listeners can expect?
Yeah. So just like you said, we are celebrating 25 years of teaching in school gardens, and we're continuing to grow and we're continuing to look at other ways to support that larger network and that larger movement. So one of the ways we're doing that, this will be the third year that we are hosting the Boston Area School Garden Conference. It's a professional development opportunity for teachers, garden educators, program administrators, anybody who says, hey, I'm interested in gardening. I'm interested in helping kids learn about gardening, to come by and learn about not just what we're doing, but what other experts in the field are doing. So we've got that coming up on Saturday, February 28th. It's going to be hosted at one of our Cambridge school sites at Putnam Ave Upper School. We also have our annual fundraiser coming up. That's happening on April 15th. It's called Dig It. It's a fun time to meet other invested stakeholders and have a couple bites to eat and learn about all the cool things we've been doing at City Sprouts over the year. If you're ever just generally interested in what we're doing or what we've got going on, you can always feel free to check out our website, citysprouts.org. We have Facebook pages, Instagram pages, we've got LinkedIn. So there's always different ways, whatever your favorite social media is, to follow all the cool work that we're doing.
Ah, incredible. You are doing so much, but yet you have stayed so focused on your mission that it's really powerful to think about all the children, all the teachers, all of just the changes and the mindset changes about how we can grow gardens in the city. And I think City Sprouts has such my hat is off. I really admire the work that you've done all these years and looking forward to speaking, being a guest speaker, presenter, or whatever at the upcoming conference. So I just want to note, if you're a Circle member and you're local to Cambridge, please, please, please come. And I would be really fun to meet there in Cambridge together. So anything else you'd like to share with our community before we sign off?
Thank you all for all the work you guys are doing. Know that it is impactful, that it does have its value. And thanks so much for having me.
Great. Thanks so much, Alex.
Before you go, I want to share an invitation. If you are an educator who knows outdoor learning matters, but you want more structure, confidence, and support, the Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp might be exactly what you need right now. This is a 5-week online foundations course and is the first step in our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. Each week, we focus on one of the 5 phases of teaching outdoors, helping you build a strong, sustainable rhythm for your outdoor classroom. You'll get pre-recorded lessons inside a private portal that you can move through at your own pace, along with 5 weekly live Zoom sessions where we come together to reflect, ask questions, and connect with other educators from all over the country doing this work. If you're curious whether the bootcamp is the right fit for you, I'd love to talk to you. You can schedule a one-on-one discovery call with me, Victoria, and we'll think through it together. Head on over to our website to learn more, or we'll have the link in the show notes as well, and see when the next Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp cohort is opening. Thanks for listening and for the work that you're doing to bring learning back into the relationship with nature. So P.S., if you are a Circle member and you are interested in taking the Outdoor Teaching Bootcamp, you get $100 off the price. So there are huge discounts for joining our Circle membership community. So again, if you have any questions about this, schedule that one-on-one call with me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Talk to you soon. Bye.